Well, hello there. Oh, I've got lots of letters for Santa today. And every year, they're the same. Some ask for toys, but a lot ask questions.
A yo-yo?
If you wish to give me a present?
Welcome, everyone, to the Christmas Specials We Love podcast. It's myself and Kelsey and Elaine, and of course, the founder of Christmas Eve, the one and only Jeffrey Crane Graham, joining us.
I'm honored to be here. If I would have found out that a Macy's Thanksgiving Day show was happening without me, my heart would have broken into a million pieces.
There you go. And that is tonight's episode, y'all. We will be covering the Macy's Day Parade. We're going to go over all the facts, the history, what's going on this year, our general thoughts on it. And I guess just starting out with the general thoughts, for me, it's always on in the background. You definitely feel as though it's Thanksgiving. I will tell you my professional connection to it with my wife, Maria Menounos. I have said to her from the beginning, Maria, anything that's Americana, you need to be involved in. You're not a movie star. You're not a rock star. And this was dating back 10 or 15 years ago. I would say to her, everything from Super Bowl to New Year's Eve, you need to be involved in. And she would always be like, that's great, but I like making a turkey and being home with my family on Thanksgiving. So I never was able to get her, but I always wanted her to be doing something with this. We've done the Christmas parade for Disney. We've done New Year's Eve with Fox, multiple Super Bowl things. Was never able to crack this. However, for me, just knowing it's been on in the background since I was a kid, I am not a follower of it. And I will be honest, Jeff, and you may want to block your ears for this. As a kid, it always bored me. I was just bored to tears. My
Chuck.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but I will say this. Thank you, Ann Sleeman, for the unbelievable research. And then building on that research and going deep myself, I'm in. I'm totally watching this year. I'm in on the Jeff scam. Get up early.
Yes.
Be in front of the TV. No, I'm in. So I'm now totally drinking the Kool-Aid. That's my thoughts. Jeff, I'm going to go to you last because I know it's the most near and dear to your heart. I'm going to go to Kelsey.
Wow. Okay. I feel like you, Kev. Jeff, plug your ears probably for me too. I grew up with a sister who used to wake me up at the crack of dawn and be like, we have to watch the parade. And I would tell her to zip it and shut it. And I'm going back to sleep. But I had to be up for sure by the Rockettes because she had to do her kicks and we all had to watch. Yeah. And I was like, that's cool. And if I ever tried to kick with her, she was like, sit down. This is about me. That was my Macy's Day Parade. But I will say, after reading the research, I'm like, I might have to watch this year to see if anything goes awry with the balloons, because that is entertaining.
Yes. So just a tease coming up, we're going to go over the roots. We're going to go over yearly history. We are going to go over the balloon accidents, which I'm just saying in research, 10 pages worth of balloon accidents. We'll talk about media appearances by this and a lot more. Kelsey, how long did she keep this tradition up of waking you up in the morning and making you watch? You had said to me it was up till recently.
Oh, up until I haven't gone home for Thanksgiving probably in the last 3 years. But up until then, she was still doing it. And actually, I think I got a video, or I would still get videos when I was in LA, of her kicking.
Okay.
Erica has not stopped.
And were you hungover from, because this is the busiest night of the year in the bars, is that Thursday, right? Is that Wednesday night? Were you hungover when you had to deal with this?
Not typically, because I never really did that, unfortunately, even though that probably lowers my PQ level, going just a little shout out to RGF. But yeah, I never really did that on Thanksgiving Eve.
Okay.
But maybe this year I will, and I'll report in.
I'm going to move over to the great Ann Sleeman.
Jeff, again, block your ears, buddy, because Kev, I swear you were like reading my thoughts or saying my thoughts as you were saying them, because I'm like, I always wanted to love all parades, especially the parade of parades, right? I love fanfare. I love Americana and all things celebratory. But holy cow, especially as a kid, this thing was way too long. And I would even, you guys may or may not remember in one of our previous episodes, we talked about what our family traditions were for Thanksgiving. One of ours was raking the entire yard. And I would even sometimes, sorry again, Jeff, would choose to go back outside to rake
go as rake. Opposed to... Jeff, no, Jeff, come back. Come back, Jeff. We have plenty of room for rebuttal. Our apologies.
My attention.
Okay. All right. Okay.
But now, after doing this research to back you and Kels, I'm all in now. Dude, there's okay. so much fun and frivolity with the balloons crashing. And
it's
so
bad. It's awesome. Okay.
And I have one other thought on the Rockettes. The first time I saw the Rockettes in Radio City Music Hall, they didn't kick. I'm still scarred.
They didn't kick?
I was so bent. They just marched around in little soldier outfits. Yeah. And my mom was like, Ann, the precision, you got to appreciate the precision. I'm like, I drove from basically Boston to New York and these people didn't. No. Are you kidding me right now?
Yeah, that's offensive.
I'm still mad. Not really, Kev. I let it go.
By the way, that was pre-social media. Today, they would have skinned them alive. They wouldn't have been
canceled.
Let's go over to Gen Z. Elaine, please. All the way from Taiwan.
I think this is the part where I actually make Jeff cry. For the rest of the Jeff. I have never watched a single minute of
Jeff. Look at Jeff,
the founder of Christmas Eve, Mr. Holidays himself. He's
he's wondering why he joined us.
Jeff, but Elaine's also from another country. You came here at 12 or 30. Thanksgiving was not a holiday you celebrated. I'm come up with as many excuses as I can for you, Elaine. But
as a Catholic, I feel like in confession.
I'll be honest. I don't even know if I'll watch it today. But Jeff, this is your last chance to try and tune in this year. This is your chance.
Okay, even the research, none of it got you excited.
The chaos of it, maybe a little bit, but it's also somebody was in a coma. 4 months, someone had to get stitches, somebody's teeth got knocked out. Like, I feel really beautiful.
I don't know. Some balloon handlers.
Yeah, some of the balloon handlers. Okay, Jeff, we give you the general thoughts from Jeff Graham.
I'm traumatized. I'm horrified. The Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade is an American treasure, and it's one of the most important days of the year. In all seriousness, I'm stunned, but I'm so happy to let it go. Just, and I like you. We just met a minute ago, but the fact that you would choose to rake over watching the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, I have questions.
I do.
No, in all seriousness, I live for the Thanksgiving Day Parade. I actually wake up very early on Thanksgiving. As Kevin so accurately observed, it is National Hungover Day. So you always got to wake up. And usually I go for a quick run just to try to get the hangover done. So I'll wake up around 7 a.m. on Thanksgiving for a run. Just a quick one, shower, and then I am like glued to the television, Indian style on the floor, watching the Thanksgiving Day parade from start to finish. For me, it's just I think what it is for me is it's a sigh of relief that you've really made it to the holidays. Now, of course, in this community, we celebrate the holidays starting in August, importantly, but the rest of the world, I feel like the consensus that Christmas, really the feeling of Christmas, work slowing down, all of that really starts around Thanksgiving. So that's what Macy's signals for me. It's also a really important preview as to what the Broadway season for the next year will look like. And I'm a musical theater nerd, so I really enjoy that component of the festival or the parade as well. I love it. And we're not going to talk about it today, but it's always followed by the Westminster Kettle Club Dog Show. And,
now that I like.
No, yes. You're right. And Jeff, furthermore, until I think the 90s, Miracle on 34th Street, NBC had the rights and used to play it after the dog show so that they owned that block of Thanksgiving. Yeah.
I just love it. I couldn't love it more. Oh, the other thing we didn't talk about, but you have to have a Bloody Mary while you watch it.
Really? Why is this?
My mom sets up a Bloody Mary bar. So the Grand Fam.
Love the Grand.
For that.
Yeah.
Elaine's in.
Here's what I'll say. I'm never one to bash the coasts, but I'm wondering if the parade is really for the Midwest. Because I have a lot of parade apathy on the Zoom call, and you all are coastal folks. I'm wondering if maybe you're just not the target demo.
I don't know, because I bet you I think it's just us. But I think West Coast, I feel, definitely is a little more separated because of the weather. It really doesn't if you had the choice to go to the beach or stay and watch TV, you're going to go to the beach. Not that it's beach weather per se, but we're stuck in.
That's a good point.
But I also think... Okay, I will tell you from my childhood, for attending parades, they used to have a parade every other week, I felt. And most of them have gone away now. Have you guys found that in your communities, that they've reduced the number of parades?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially growing up in New England, we had the bicentennial parade where we had to don colonial gear and
walk like we lived in 78 in my town. And
yeah, there was, of course, but there were many Memorial Day.
There was, yeah, so many little parades.
Yeah.
And they have petered out a little bit, maybe because kids now aren't as into it because of more streaming and more access to stuff online. But they definitely had more then. And maybe it was just like, it's just another parade, even though, and you're not there live to get the buzz and the smell and the feel of it live. As a kid, I never wanted to be inside. So I think that tied all into the one. To
even Jeff, your community is left less parades.
We've always really only just had one big parade in Bay Village, Ohio, and that's our Memorial Day parade, but it is still ongoing. So every year, Bay Village, Ohio, which picture in your mind what Bay Village, Ohio looks like, and you're correct. That's where I grew up. Just like quintessential gazebos. The Memorial Day parade, the marching band plays, the prom king and queen ride in it from that year. So it's a tradition.
Kind of, yeah, it just times change. I remember as a little kid seeing World War One veterans in the parade. And I remember Memorial Day, what a big deal it was to bring flowers and things like that to the World War One and World War II veterans. And that seems like that's passed as well. With all this said,
I used to be part of a parade.
Wait a second. Okay, yeah. Go ahead, Kelsey. Sorry.
Every year for gymnastics, I was part of the 4th of July parade, thank you very much, that took place in Woodinville, Washington. So I feel like I'm an honorary parade lover just because of that, right? I really gave my all. I was dropped on the cement a couple times, doing backflips. So yeah, but that's still happening. So shout out to the Woodinville, Washington parade.
Love it.
Thank you.
All right, very good. Before we get into the history of the parade, I just want to say, if you are on Apple Podcasts, to please subscribe to us, the Christmas specials we love. And give us that 5-star rating along with a review. We have several in there, and maybe later in the show, we'll read some. Really enjoyed this podcast. It made me want to rewatch. It is one of them. It made me want to rewatch. I learned too much and had a blast listening to it. Great job. Can't wait to see what's next. Anyway, that's a 5-star rating. And we have several other ones, and maybe I'll read them later. But in the meantime, please tell a friend about us and give us that 5-star rating, and as well as a review with your thoughts and your comments. Okay. I'm going to start out with the roots of the parade, because there's been a few different routes over the years. The original route, when the parade started in 1924 till about 1945, the route started on 145th Street in Harlem and ended at Herald Square, the corner of 34th Street at the Macy's. But here's the big thing. It was a 6-mile route, as you'll find out why that was cumbersome. But for almost 25 years, that's the route they took. Then the next one is what they call the classic route, and that was from 46 to 2008. That was after World War II, where they shortened the route to 2.5 miles, and that was to correspond with the new NBC television recording set. So NBC Studios, which is right there, they had gotten the rights to shoot this, and of course, TV and money drives everything, but probably practical issues as well, to bring it down to the 2.5 miles, which stands today. The route stays untouched until the current route. In 2008, it was announced that a new route would be established starting in the 2009 parade. And in this new route, they eliminated going through Broadway completely. And this route change was made in order to provide space for the parade, more viewing space for the spectators, and to correspond with New York City's plan to turn Broadway into a pedestrian-only zone at Times Square.
To say it, but I wonder if they shortened that parade route just because, I hate to be cynical here, but I think America in 1920, 6 miles was a breeze. In America in 2022, 6 miles is a long walk.
Good point.
Yes. So in 46, they were smoking everywhere.
Yeah.
But maybe, yeah, maybe. That's the route they have today. The only other route they did differently was during the pandemic, where they shortened it to a 1-block stretch, and they didn't permit spectators to attend. And obviously we know why. They were trying to just do something at that time, like a lot of sports were doing with no audiences. Okay, November 27th, 1924. It's originally called the Macy's Christmas Parade. 250,000 people turn out. There's 3 floats pulled by horses, 4 marching bands, and instead of balloons, they've got zoo animals from the Central Park Zoo. Camels, donkeys, elephants, and goats. And then the very last in the lineup, which is a tradition that continues today, was Santa. And when Santa arrives at Macy's, he would unveil the holiday window displays. And this was to say that Christmas was officially open. And this was staged by Macy's employees, many of which who had emigrated from Europe and longed for a celebration similar to the ones they had in their country. In 1927, it's renamed to the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. They realized by this point, it's people are in the Thanksgiving mode, not quite into Christmas mode. And this is when the giant balloons make their first appearance. Now, one of the reasons was the fact that wild animals on a 6-mile walk would not be very agreeable. Many got vicious. In come the balloons. Felix the Cat is the first balloon. By the way, Kelsey, Felix the Cat, do you know who that is?
I know the name, but that's about it.
Nothing comes to mind, Jeff?
No.
Jeff, anything come to mind? Felix
the Cat? Like the black cat with the big white eyes. And
yes.
Yes.
I can picture Felix the Cat.
Yes. Yes. Here's the interesting thing. So the first year, they released the balloons into the air with the thought that they would gracefully float away. But that, of course, wasn't the case because the helium expanded and then they exploded over Manhattan.
I just love the promotion from animal stampede to exploding balloons. We're 0-2 so far, Macy's apron. 0-2.
Love chaos. Love
it.
Yes.
Love it.
Okay, 1928, Macy's begins offering a $100 reward for any return balloon. That's about $1,500 today. And the balloons were fitted with safety valves. Now, in 31, pilot Colonel Clarence Chamberlain snags a balloon with his airplane wing, leading to a ban on all retrievals the following year. Of course, being Americans, the ban does nothing to stop us. In night two, another pilot attempts to capture a balloon and nearly crashes, leading Macy's to discontinue releasing the balloons altogether. In night 33, the crowd grew to over 1 million spectators, which is crazy.
That's nuts.
But then in 1934, lo and behold, celebrities become part of the parade. Typical celebrities are like, I'm not missing out on this. And Eddie Cantor is the first guy to join. He had that song, Making Whoopee.
I know that song.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And also, though, but this is the bigger thing, I think Disney hops on the bandwagon and creates a Mickey Mouse helium balloon that debuts.
That feels like a commissioning of the parade, right? Like they've arrived. I feel like when the Disney stamp of approval.
That's it.
However, about Disney, that's a
even then, because look at all the classic animation that they were pumping out at that time.
Do you know when Mickey first arrived? Like, when was he created? Is it in tandem with 1934?
No, before then. Steamboat Willie or whatever. It was Steamboat Mickey, I think it was.
28. It is the premier year for Mickey.
Perfect. So he's coming into his own.
He is. In 1939, an experimental TV broadcast of the parade was filled with cameras above Central Park's Museum of Natural History. Now, it wasn't broadcast yet, but still, they're realizing they're onto something. Okay, 42 to no parade because of the war. I think out of respect for the war, but then also there was a shortage of helium and rubber because we needed that for the war effort.
This is a dumb question. Would that have been for explosives?
Probably. Blimps. The blimps, like the Led Zeppelins and the blimps.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
In 1946, the parade returns and was broadcast. And I saw an interview with the director, and his style was to shoot it in a way that people could actually feel like they were there. So sometimes, Jeff, you ever notice some of the shots that are low to the ground, but looking up at seeing the bystanders at ground level, but then looking up at the float? His goal was to make you feel you were there, which I thought was really progressive for 1946.
Very cool.
1947. We don't have a lot of the TV footage, but from 47, we have footage of the parade thanks to Miracle on 34th Street. So if you ever see the film Miracle on 34th Street, actual parade footage from 47 exists in that film.
Which we cover, Kev.
Yes, we have to cover that. And to me, that's the quintessential one.
Mm-hmm. Kev, I think the footage was from 46 because the movie came out in 47.
Yes, you're right. Thank you. Okay, now 48. I believe it's NBC that comes in and says, we're going to shoot this forever. And of course, they still are. But the interesting thing is, I did notice it on CBS and I've noticed it on other affiliates. But the reason is because since a parade is held on public streets, it's news. So you can't really lay a claim to exclusivity on it. So other places are allowed to shoot it. It's just that probably NBC gets the premier location and all the passes. And no one really messes with it. But I know some CBS affiliates, local affiliates, will show it. Balloons were filled with air and lifted via crane onto trucks due to another helium shortage. And then in 1960...
Where does helium come from?
Okay.
Helium is an element. If you remember back in chemistry,
that's right.
back periodic table.
Okay. It's number two. HE is the chemical. I think it's mined, but I'm not a chemist, so I don't know that, but it is an element. I believe it's mined.
Very thank you, Anne, or else that was getting deleted. Okay. And the TV broadcast gets expanded to 2 hours. This is where you knew they were going to lose me and Kelsey.
So I think that's when we'd be in.
1963. Okay, but this was days after the assassination of President Kennedy, and there was a lot of debate on whether or not to do this or not. However, they felt to keep the morale of the country up, the show must go on. The parade flags were flown at half-staff, and Blackstream has accompanied many of the floats. In 68, Manfred Bass begins creating the floats. He was an artist who'd been working on the parade since 1963. In fact, he'd gone on to work on the parade till 2000, but he designed certain floats to be able to go under the bridges. They would collapse and come back up to be able to go through bridges. And anyone who's like a fan of or a historian of the parade, he apparently is an icon. In 69, they put a tape delay on the parade for other Americans to be able to see it at the same time. 1971, poor weather conditions kept the balloons from being inflated at all. That would have been a bad year for Jeff.
Okay.
And this is a slight tease because we're going to get into a lot of the balloon accidents. This isn't necessarily an accident, but in 1985, a rain-drenched Kermit the Frog had to be carried. He couldn't float. In 1998, they set guidelines prohibiting balloons from flying if sustained winds exceed 23 miles an hour or gusts exceed 34 miles an hour. They also, I think, came up with size limitations as well for reasons we'll get into during the accidents. Let's see. There's more accidents that take place, so I'm gonna save that. And I'm going to move a little bit into some fun facts. All participants of the parade, except for the entertainers, are Macy's employees.
I would like to quick amendment on that one.
Please, sir.
Because I thought balloon holders, you didn't have to be a Macy's employee. I might be wrong about that, but...
No, balloon holders, I don't think... You're right. I think balloon holders, I know they go through extensive training, but I don't think that they are...
Everything I read on it is all participants, including the balloon wranglers, have to be employees, but I can certainly double check that.
Elaine's raising her hand. Do they have enough employees for this? Go ahead, Elaine.
To be an official handler, you have to fall into one or two criteria: be a Macy's employee or be sponsored by one.
Lovely.
They have to be sponsored by one.
Sponsored by one. Got it. That's great.
It's my dream to hold a Macy's Day balloon, which is why my heart almost broke. I would need to get a job at Macy's.
Let's get you sponsored, Jeff.
Let's get me sponsored.
Maria sponsored them?
Does Maria work at Macy's?
Oh, yes. No, excuse me, people. Kelsey. Okay, Kelsey. Maria is a spokesperson for Macy's. You're right. And Jeff, we could maybe make that happen.
That would be nuts. We'll
make a road trip next year.
Yeah.
Okay, Jeff, let's put a pin in that. I like that.
I do too.
In fact, Maria did a live event at the store in New York. Kelsey?
Yeah. And she's going to do another one soon.
Okay. So discussions are going to be in play, people.
Question for Jeff, though. Would there be one balloon in particular you would like to handle?
I need to think about this one.
Yeah.
My instinct says a classic, though I do love Pokemon, so maybe Pikachu.
And Pikachu's been in the parade very long. Kevin, we'll get to that, but I was shocked by that.
Okay. Now, here's the thing. Macy's wasn't the first department store to do a Thanksgiving Day parade. It was actually Gimbel's. That's the defunct Philadelphia-based chain. They had launched their own parade as well as there was a store in Detroit, I know, that did one too.
I don't know if that was a store, just the city of Kev that did the American Thanksgiving Parade.
You're right.
The same year, yeah.
And even though Gimbel's closed in 86, both the Detroit Thanksgiving Parade and the Philadelphia one, they say are the second biggest. They're both tied for number two. But the Detroit one has been around the longest. The Philly one after that, and then comes Macy's. So Macy's was not the originator. Here's the interesting thing, though. Did any of you do any research on Ragamuffin Day? And by the way, if you haven't, it's okay, because I got you. But I found this fascinating.
What's up, Kev?
Okay. Ragamuffin Day was this either precursor or postcursor of trick-or-treating that took place on Thanksgiving. And kids would dress up like beggars and homeless people, and go beg for apples and candy and different treats. And it started in 1870 and it was peaking into the 20s. But then when the 30s came around, it got a lot of backlash because of the Depression, when you actually had real hobos and people who had no money. If anyone thinks that us being politically correct today is a thing, back then they were sensitive and aware enough to say, no, I know you kids are all having fun, but you're mocking people who are really in need. And we need to get rid of this. But they have these things called these ragamuffin parades. And they now not politically correct in the late 20s, early 30s, or the early 30s, they were like, okay, we need something else on Thanksgiving for the ragamuffins, hence the Thanksgiving Day Parade.
I thought it was brilliant that they made that switch and turned it into a big marketing, basically a marketing scheme or for the entire store.
I first learned about ragamuffins back in middle school when we had to do a play and we all had to dress up as ragamuffins. So I had a little insight into what Ragamuffin Day was, Kev. But I thought this was really interesting how Macy's did the right thing for America, but also spun it into a marketing event for the store.
You just leave it to the good old Catholics, because in 1966, a Catholic priest brought it back in the New York area, and it still goes on to this day. But it's expanded to costumes. So nice. You see little spacemen So there's a couple of parades that still exist, but there's a big one that's a ragamuffin parade that still exists in New York. Initially, balloons were filled with air and carried by a string. Later, it was a mix of helium and air. And this was what allowed the designers to create the biggest balloons. Balloons are now created at the Macy's Parade Studio located right outside Hoboken, New Jersey. All the balloons start as a pencil sketch. Aerodynamic and engineering consultants are called upon to assist with calculations to make sure each of the balloons will fly. An exact scale replica is made out of clay, and a full-scale model is also painted. Then the actual balloon is cut out of fabric. Each balloon has multiple compartments, including a zipper, an inflation device, and a high-pressure valve, and a safety valve as well. Flight, inflation, and deflation tests are run, and adjustments are made, and this all takes place in a period of a year before it even is allowed to be in the parade, which I thought was really cool.
That's nuts. Oof, I also would like to know where they then stash the original, the clay.
Oh, don't you worry. Oh, the clay things. You know what? That's a great question. I don't know. I would hope there's some geek who keeps those.
Yeah, right?
I don't know what they do with the clay.
Balloons were originally made out of rubber, but now made out of polyurethane. The volunteers who help with the balloons are known as balloon wranglers, as we said. Balloons now can't be more than 70 feet tall, 40 feet or 78 feet long. Balloon dimensions, they vary. Most are 5 to 6 stories, wow, and are 60 feet long and 30 feet high. Each balloon needs about 90 wranglers. In all, every parade has 2,000 to 3,000 balloon handlers. Handlers must weigh 120 pounds. Each balloon weighs plus or minus 400 pounds. Team leaders must attend training, including aerodynamics, geometry, and knowledge of physics.
That's
crazy.
One day, man.
He's not a leader. He'll just be a poser. He'll just hold the balloon and hold the string and wave to people. That's what I'm going to do.
Picture me on TV.
Yeah.
I can. I also read go ahead, Kev.
No, go.
It's unconfirmed. I couldn't re-find it that the leads also need to be able to walk the parade route backwards and not have any issues. I need to reconfirm that, though.
Interesting.
That's impressive.
It continues to get more bizarre and twist. Okay, the team includes an overall lead, a pilot, a captain, and two drivers. A police officer is also assigned to each balloon. Each balloon is secured by two 800-pound utility vehicles. Balloon addicts, as they're called, are ardent fans of the parade. So, yeah, no surprise. Now, a little shout-out, the Seinfeld episode we cover, the Thanksgiving Seinfeld episode we cover, there's a little subplot in there about one of the characters being a balloon handler. So you'll have to check out our Christmas specials without podcast as we cover Seinfeld. Also, even some of the balloons are covered in there, but I digress. We'll get to that. The inflation celebration. This I thought was really cool. On Thanksgiving Eve, people head to West End Street in Columbus Ave to watch the balloons get inflated. And this event has become almost as popular as the parade itself. Jeff, did you know about that?
I did not know about this at all. I think that's extraordinary. And I'm adding it to my list of just things I...
Yeah, but you know what, Jeff? There has to be... I'm surprised NBC... Someone, one of the streaming networks or someone on a YouTube channel should be jumping on this to cover that.
It does feel like Peacock Premium. It's funny. I'm the same way with the Olympics, where I have a Peacock subscription purely because I got that pre-Olympics coverage. If they did pre-Macy's coverage, I'm sure they could get a lot of subscribers over there. The cranky Thanksgiving nuts like me.
But maybe they will on YouTube, Jeff. You'll have to check on Thanksgiving Eve, though.
Yeah, you're right. I will keep you all posted. I'll be awake.
Awesome.
I love this. The floats have been part of the parade since the beginning. Floats are made of wood, metal, fiberglass fabric, and foam. The parade studio starts with a sketch that makes an exact scale drawing. Pieces are built, starting with the float head. Then they are painted, props are added, and then they are fully assembled at the studio. Now, Macy's won't disclose how much the parade costs. They say it's a gift to the city. And as with any gift, you don't leave a price tag on it. Parade planning takes at least a year between float and balloon creation, celebrity booking, volunteer coordination, training of clowns, and balloon handlers, too. After the parade, floats are immediately disassembled, balloons are deflated, everything is returned to the warehouse in Hoboken, Kelsey. Mechanical, Hoboken, New Jersey. Mechanical street sweepers clean up. 300 pounds of glitter are sprinkled on costumes, floats, etc.
You say 300
pounds.
300. Holy cow.
That would be my only objection. I find glitter to be nightmare fuel. So that would be anything about the Macy's. I would back off on the glitter.
Wow.
The warehouse is 72,000 square feet with 30 plus full-time artists. In addition to the height guidelines we mentioned for the balloons, anemometers, devices that measure wind, are now mounted at key points along the parade route and are monitored by the New York City Office of Emergency Management.
Okay. Trying to cut down on all those accidents.
Yes. All right. Speaking of accidents, great segue. Let's go balloon time. Let's start talking balloon accidents. Woo. Are you ready?
Oh, I'm so excited.
Felix the Cat was the first one to make an appearance in the parade, and he caught fire after tangling with telephone wires.
So bad.
In 1929, the lap dog tore loose from his leash near 90th Street. Same year, the turkey gobbler hit a no parking sign at 58th Street and 6th Avenue. And due to this, both balloons deflated and were removed from the parade. Now, by the way, shout out to, I had asked you guys to look at, they do have some footage from, were you able to check out the balloons from back then?
We didn't check out the balloons from back then, but we just checked out some of just balloons popping. And
we saw Barney go.
All right, wait, that's not what I asked. And did you see some of the original balloons?
Yeah, the original Mickey Mouse, I saw the Felix, and then the cat balloon. There was a cat and a Felix the Cat.
The reason I bring it up is because they're just frightening looking.
Oh my gosh, they were about to come alive.
Today's look much more cartoony. These just looked scary.
Garbage bags tied together like the clowns that do the balloon answers.
Yeah, it was almost like the way, you're right, the way some clowns make you laugh and are happy and some are just scary. These balloons all look scary. If you guys even want a Google image so you can see what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But there's a distinct difference. It was like before World War II, they got the knack of it and they got more creative. But these were scary looking.
I agree. The Mickey Mouse was especially scary to me.
Okay, 1931.
Yeah, you guys all got to Google this. For all you listening,
It looks like it's straight out of a horror movie.
Okay, oh, see, God. I wasn't wrong.
I think I can help you all include images in the description. So we'll include one or two horror balloons in the description below.
1931, the Turk hit an electric sign at 72nd Street and tore in half. When the cat balloon was released at the end of the parade, the balloon hit a telephone wire and, surprise, caught on fire, resulting in the cat balloon's retirement. In 1932, the cheetah hooked onto an airplane when the pilot of the airplane was attempting to catch it, sending the plane into a tailspin. 1933, Andy the alligator split in two, losing his tail south of the 70th Street. Gulliver had his nose punctured, but was repaired at Lincoln Square. In 1936, Father Knickerbocker got his nose stuck at the elevated train line in Lincoln Square. Though it was repaired, his left arm was later damaged, falling off the balloon entirely. In 1941, the Santa Claus balloon suffered damage and collapsed on the roof. 1951, the fish hit a lamppost and sprung a leak at 8th Avenue.
Feels fitting for a fish, though, right? To spring a leak. That's like at least the way a fish should go.
Isn't it funny how back then things could be so basic? Like today, you don't have a crocodile or a fish.
Because you know why? And I don't want to be cynical here, but everything is corporatized, right? It would just be a fish. It would be the Nestle fish or the Hershey's crocodile, right? I think the idea of just having an unbranded balloon in your parade is so foreign, I think, to us, which is everything is so corporate.
So corporate.
Good point.
Same Boston, corporate.
Corporate.
1953, the toy soldier balloon deflated overnight was replaced by the crocodile. In 1955, the spaceman's right arm was torn off near the start of the parade. 56, the Gorgeous Gobbler and the Observer balloons were both deflated in separate accidents. Mighty Mouse barely survived the winds as the balloon nearly crashed at Columbus Circle. The balloon finally arrived at Herald Square just mere seconds before finally succumbing to the winds and deflating altogether. In 1957, the Observer, whatever the F the Observer is, hits a lamppost and a TV camera truck. In 1957, Popeye the Sailor's hat filled with water during a heavy downpour of rain. What happened was the hat itself collected about 50 gallons worth of water. And then as he tilted later on the parade, all of that water came down, gushed down on the crowd.
Oof, frosty.
Yeah, right. And Popeye, it wasn't over because in 58, his arms get punctured and then he's removed from the parade entirely. Now, the Gorgeous Gobbler, again, what the hell is the Gorgeous Gobbler? He's back. That's he's turkey. Unable to. Yeah, but a gorgeous. He's gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. He's always been gorgeous.
Yeah. I
think that's the youth. And that's what they call a turkey balloon.
Really?
Every year. Yeah, I think so. Even still, it's the Gorgeous Gobbler's get the mascot of the parade. It's the turkey balloon.
Okay. The Gorgeous Gobbler that year, that was the year of the shortage of helium. So he had to be carried by cranes, but he was too big. It couldn't work. And he was removed from that year's parade. Wow, Gorgeous Gobbler. So in 61, his nose gets punctured by an obstacle before step off, with his entire head later being deflated during the parade. 1963, during inflation, a Goodyear worker stepped on the Donald Duck balloon on the Donald Duck balloon's left foot, causing it to deflate. Sinclair Oil, this is where corporate's getting involved.
This is where it starts.
Yes, the Sinclair Oil dinosaur's neck was punctured by a lamppost, causing the balloon to spring a leak and be flown at a lower altitude. In spite of the accident, the balloon was able to complete its flight down 34th Street. Goodwin, okay, back to Popeye.
Dedication there, I have to say, with some of these balloons, the dedication, it's like, he sprung a leak and is half deflated, yet still dragged down the... I'm like, dang, good for
carried
that.
On, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, they persevered.
That same year, Goodyear workers forgot to reseal the rip panels on the Popeye balloon. Because of this, he was deflated and removed from that year's parade. And was replaced by Happy Dragon. 1966, Superman's left arm was deflated by a tree. 1971's head was severely damaged during inflation. Smokey Bear's hat was also damaged after inflation, so badly damaged that it required total replacement. Snoopy, that same year, Snoopy was wrapped around the cab of a helium truck due to the high winds. For the first time ever in parade history, all the giant balloons were grounded as a result of every rain and winds. Instead, Donald Duck's left wing was deflated by a tree. 1973, astronaut Snoopy was punctured by an unknown object. 75, astronaut Snoopy was punctured by a lamp. It was pulled from the lineup. Now, in 75, Underdog ran into a lamppost near Times Square, also being removed from the lineup. Wow, that was a tough year.
It was brutal.
Smokey Bear's right hand gets punctured and springs a leak. This is all in the same year. Sinclair Oil's dinosaur, its right leg gets snagged on a lamppost. However, it did get freed and was able to finish the parade. Let's see. Okay, Weeble's torso was torn open by a tree that same year, resulting in an immediate deflation and removal. Cut to 1976. And by the way, that was just so the 70s. I'm sorry. As everything was
just love, they say Weeble's wobble, but they don't fall down.
They were just one giant torso.
Exactly.
And by the way, good memory on Weebles. Jeff, how would you know Weebles?
It came back. And Kelsey, you might remember. You're a little younger than me, but I feel like 90s. Remember Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down? Weebles wobble, fall down. Oh, man.
No, they were a little bit bigger in size because the Weebles we had, Kev, back in the 70s were definitely a choking hazard. And they smartened up for when Kelsey and Jeff were kids. And they were a lot bigger, so you can choke on them.
Yes, you could. Yeah, because our IQs were lower than yours, we were eating them.
Yeah, we were just, yep.
You know what? It was actually a fine entree or an hors d'oeuvre before your Play-Doh, when you would dine on your Play-Doh.
Or your Lincoln Logs.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. 76, the Weeble couldn't finish the parade route because it had been punctured by a streetlight. The balloon remained flying closer to the ground before eventually collapsing at Times Square's, being removed 5 minutes later. Underdog's right hand was also punctured by a streetlight that year. Poor Happy Dragon, its head was, in 1978, its head was punctured by a tree branch, and the balloon collapsed to the pavement, resulting in its removal. aviator Snoopy was left out of the parade as a shattered glass broke the leg of the balloon. When he returned the following year, a noticeable black patch covered the leg puncture.
Love it.
1981, Snoopy's back at it, nearly crashes into a street light and traffic lights at the starting line, but was moved back and wasn't damaged. But shortly after his NBC appearance, the patch on his leg detached, which caused the balloon to deflate rapidly. 1982, Bullwinkle collides with traffic lights at the start of the parade, deflating his nose. The balloon struggled along the route until having to be taken out four blocks before the finishing line. Mickey Mouse was pushed around by strong winds and eventually hit a street sign, but the balloon remained undamaged. How about that? Oh, poor aviator Snoopy at it again. His tail was deflated during the march. Superman in his head and leg, but was repaired. Woody Woodpecker was lowered due to a puncture in his head. 1983, during inflation, the Mickey Mouse balloon's arm was accidentally torn off. The balloon later exploded while being inflated, resulting in its removal and retirement from the parade. Ouch. 1984, Garfield's left paw was deflated after colliding with a Central Park tree. 1985, boy, aviator Snoopy, he doesn't have a lot of luck. I think he actually fell from the air before getting to 34th Street. Kermit the Frog's stomach that same year was torn by trees along Central Park West. Although the balloon remained in the lineup, it was flown very close to the ground due to the loss of helium. 85, Olive Oil and Superman suffered damages before the parade began and were unable to be repaired in time. Woody Woodpecker tore a hole the night before the parade, but the hole was actually repaired in time. His legs, however, deflated during the march.
Apparently, he pecked his own balloon. I don't know if you all read that, but
what's that
joke I just made? I made a dumb Woody Woodpecker joke just then.
Do you know what, Jeff? You just keep swinging. 1986, Raggedy Ann crashed into a lamppost and sent it to the street. By the way, Kelsey, do you know Raggedy Ann?
I do know Raggedy Ann.
Interesting.
Jeff Raggedy Ann, right?
Raggedy Ann and Andy, is that who were?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, of course. They're staples.
You say, of course. Okay. All right. Fair enough.
I bet you would, though.
She probably wouldn't.
She crashed, in addition to her crashing into a lamppost, Superman had his hand torn off by a tree. 1993, Sonic the Hedgehog crashed into a lamppost at Columbus Circle and broke an off-duty police officer's shoulder. 1994, Barney tore his side on a lamppost and had to be removed from the parade with the help of knife-wielding officials, crying kids, and cheering adults. Oh, because, Barney. Kelsey, do you know Barney?
Yes. My sister loved Barney, but I remember the whole Barney scandal as well.
Wait, what was the Barney? Do tell.
Barney scandal that, like, the guy, one of the guys playing Barney was, like, not a great guy, apparently, and got arrested, and it was a whole thing.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, Elaine? Yeah.
I remember that part a little bit.
Yeah. But my sister loved Barney. I didn't really watch it.
I just remember, I don't remember a time, maybe the 50s and the 70s had characters like that, but I just remember nothing was bigger, children, than Barney. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. I see multiple things big with kids, multiple things on Disney Channel, multiple things on Nick Jr. It was Barney and only Barney.
It was monoculture. And we don't get that anymore, where there's true monoculture, but I think Barney, that was it. That was the goat. I guess Sesame Street, too, I would argue. Yeah. Those were the.
It just wasn't as cultish, though.
Yeah.
And the other thing with Sesame Street was it was layered. It was smart. It was bilingual. It had numbers. And then I think what was horrifying for adults is that, and the Simpsons did this parody, too, where Barney's on the Homer's watching TV and you just see a ripoff of Barney and he's going, 2 + 2 = 4. 2 + 2 = 4. 2 + 2 = 4. And Homer goes, I can see why this is so entertaining. But when adults would see it, we'd be like, wait, what are they watching? How are you so mesmerized by this? It was nothing compared to Sesame Street. But the fact that the kids were just so swept, mesmerized by it. And like you said, it was, what did you say, Jeff? I never heard that term before.
Like monoculture. So it's like when you talk about, and we can just be quick on this, but a lot of like social scientists say that they talk about the death of monoculture, where in 2022, there's not one. I mean, you've been saying this for decades, Kev, where niche culture is what's in right now.
Yeah.
Where people have their own special community or thing that they love, but there's not one Game of Thrones, but it's rare that you have a piece of pop culture that's.
It's going away. Yeah. Going and away. if you're an artist, whether you're a creator or part of something, like that, any way, shape, or form, I'd say be damn grateful because, there's nothing, everything is really. I think it's almost like we're going back to what probably theater was like in the United States in the 1800s, local theater, and you had your local actors and people knew the local actors and that was kind of it, you know,
it's like regional.
We're not necessarily regional, but we're niche.
Yeah.
You know, anyway, interesting. 1997, high winds pushed the Cat in the Hat into a lamppost. The falling debris struck a parade goer, fracturing her skull, left her in a coma for a month.
Oh my God.
Sued the city for $395 million.
You know what I'm hearing through all of this? That the real culprit.
That we need to go there. We got to go there and get injured. And get paid, Kelsey. Let's do it.
No. But the lampposts need to be removed because everything is, lampposts are just ruining everything.
It really is.
All the lampposts. And what you said.
So the same high winds also caused the NYPD to stab and stomp down Barney over crowd concerns. They also stabbed Pink Panther for the same reasons.
Sad.
Okay, but we're not out of the woods yet. An M&M balloon caught on a streetlight in Times Square. Two sisters were struck by falling debris, suffering broken teeth and other injuries. The M&M balloon was retired after 2006 and replaced by a float saluting Broadway theater and musicals. The sisters got a lifetime supply of M&Ms. There you go. Kels, we have to go get struck. Stop it.
When Elaine and I read that, I said I would be pissed if that's what I got from getting my teeth knocked out. Then I got a life supply of M&Ms. Are you serious?
I'm sure they gave her a little something.
Were they at least peanut? Or
I'm sure they were well cared for.
Okay, good.
2008, a balloon took out the NBC camera booth, taking their pictures off here. Interesting. 2011, the Kool-Aid man deflated and fell over. Sad. 2012, Buzz Lightyear ripped his helmet and nearly went beyond infinity, ending up in a river while his handler ended up in the hospital. 2019, Ronald McDonald had to be let off the parade with a tear in his leg. The rip had been noticed in the morning as he was still trapped under his net. But as Macy's staff apparently couldn't find tape to fix the 3-inch tear, they sent him on his way. However, the tear grew and it began to sag and was taken off for aesthetic reasons. On the same day, the Nutcracker cracked one of his handlers and knocked him to the ground. He was allowed to continue, however. Wow, guys.
Mind-boggling.
Wait, so Jeff, did you? But see, Jeff, because you're TV friendly, they cut all this stuff, so you probably weren't aware of this.
There are sometimes moments will happen where it's my favorite thing in the world. There's nothing more that I love than watching morning broadcast energy coupled with something happening, because they'll be like, oh, but it looks like Pikachu is having a little issue over there, and then they cut super quick. But that's just really fun to watch the anchors, Katie Couric or whoever it is, try to navigate the crisis.
Jeff, did you know that there were this many?
Definitely didn't know there were this many. No, this has been a well-kept secret, even and from Macy's.
If you go to YouTube, if you're interested, and YouTube this, just for balloon crashes, Macy's parade, you will get to see them firsthand. You'll see. But it's humbling to see how big and how powerful they are. Street lamp is steel, and they snap it like a toothpick.
I know, it's crazy.
And I'm surprised it's only been broken bones. I'm surprised no one's died, because you're talking about, giant pieces of metal.
And you think about the conditions in New York. First of all, those skyscrapers create wind tunnels. And it's end of November, peak of winter. There's always wind. It's a tough job being a balloon wrangler, and you're really in the trenches down there. And the weather is not on your side at the end of November. So you have to applaud the Macy's and the parade for all these logistics for really how well they've done overall.
98 is when they clamped down. That's when they came in and they started coming up with regulations for the sizes, regulations for the weight, because they had to.
Can we talk about a side note, like favorite mishaps, if anybody had one?
Okay. What was your favorite, Ann?
Well, I don't want to sound sinister, but there was something about, if you saw the Pink Panther in 1997, that he had the life preserver with the Macy's like lifesaver, and the fact that he was like crashing and crushing all the people and then getting stabbed, like the irony of that, I found hysterical.
I think the half dead Superman looked really weird. It was a 1985 Superman. Yeah. So what, like today I'm sure would be much more muscular, but to see his head down and his arms flapping down, it was almost like a dead body Superman floating, not the Superman flying. And seeing it was it was pretty funny.
Just love all of it. And the fact that Macy's has managed to sweep this under the rug, kudos to their PR team. I'll say that.
No kidding. The Kermit one really got me. Kermit's stomach being slit open. I was like, ooh, poor guy.
I know. I felt bad with that one too, Kelsey.
I don't know why. That just didn't feel good.
And when you see some of these videos, this would be traumatizing to a little kid.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
If you see the videos, they're horrifying. Entertaining to us, but I think to a younger person, it'd be like...
I think that Barney being stabbed by the police.
And the parents.
That, when you're there with your little five-year-old, oh, there's Barney, and then he's getting stabbed.
Right? Yeah, kids are horrified, but I don't know why. I just think a lot of parents, that generation of parents, was annoyed by Barney, and I think they were more than happy to stab him.
Silently cheering that Barney was getting stabbed.
It's possible, Kev, that it was a conspiracy. Oh. Barney wasn't an accident.
If social media were around, yes, it would 100% at least be debated as a conspiracy. Sure, as a conspiracy. Oh, yeah.
I like it.
Okay, some of the longest running balloons. Snoopy. Now, he said different incarnations. Snoopy and Woodstock, astronaut Snoopy, aviator Snoopy, as we mentioned, him and Woodstock, Millennium Snoopy, but he's done 40 parades.
Amazing.
Jeff, speaking of corporate, Ronald McDonald, 28 parades. But I'm going to say this about Ronald. Even though Ronald is known, Ronald really peaked in the 70s into the early 80s. He used to have a voice, Jeff and Kelsey.
I think 90s too.
Did he have a voice? Did he have a voice? You'd see him as a cartoon. Did he speak to in your commercials?
Yeah. I never really liked Ronald. I'm not a big clown guy, so I just didn't really connect.
Kelsey?
I didn't really connect. Neither did I. I did not like Ronald. Not a fan. I was an Elmo girl and Elmo girl only. That was the only thing I liked.
Yeah.
Not Barney, not Ronald. Didn't care.
See, Ronald hating.
Yeah. Again, I'm gonna tell you your 90s version was different than our 70s version. Before they started putting the cuffs on him, and I think also some smartest guy in the room at McDonald's was like, I have an idea, let's phase him back. But when in the 70s, the 60s and the 70s and the early 80s, he was as much of a lovable character as, say, anyone on Sesame Street. Whereas by the time you guys got to him, he was really just selling hamburgers. You knew the difference between him and Elmo. But in our day, there was no difference. But they started phasing him away, and he's still a cartoon or whatever. But notice he doesn't really have a voice. You don't see in commercials him talk. And today they'd probably kill them because they would probably say that we're taking advantage of the kids by having him do. But yeah, different. And it's funny, Elmo wasn't around when we were kids. We had Cookie Monster, Grover, Ernie and Bert, Big Bird, Snuffleupagus was just introduced when we were kids. But other than that, Elmo was new.
I was a big Sesame Street girl.
You know what? Maybe if you're good, Santa will have us do the Muppet Christmas Carol, which is a very popular rendition of a Christmas Carol.
I would love that.
That'd be fun.
Very good.
Rocky and Bullwinkle parades. Kermit the Frog, 22 parades. Interesting that Rocky and Bullwinkle would last that long, but I guess because of the move, they did the live action feature film, they must have given it new life. Hasn't been around since 2000 though. Kermit the Frog, 22 parades. Okay, now we're getting into Jeff and Kelsey and Elaine area. Pikachu, he made it 21 parades.
We'll be back. Kevin, this is crazy. Pokemon is the highest grossing media franchise of all time. More than Lord of the Rings, more than Harry Potter, more than Bond.
Wow.
And that's only been a 25-year run, but they've just really taken over.
Wow.
I know. That's wild. I would have never expected that, but they've eclipsed every other media franchise. Star Wars. It's crazy.
Dang. It's crazy. I did not know that. Okay. Sinclair's Dino, we had mentioned that many times, started in 63. 2015 on a redesign has been back till now and 20 parades. Mickey Mouse, 20 parades since 34, retired in 83, came back in 2000 as another version, and then did four more parades between 2009 and 2012. Smokey Bear, another icon from the 70s, 19 parades. Anyone here other than Ann knows Smokey Bear?
Yes.
Only you can prevent forest fires.
Oh, very good. Okay, fair enough. All right.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. Big Bird, 19 parades. Hasn't done anything since 2006. Spider-Man, 18 parades. And I sense we'll see more of him because of Marvel. But although we haven't seen him since 2014. Garfield, 18 parades. Haven't seen him since 2006. 16 parades. Nice to see in 2019 to today, he's back. Now, the most popular balloons that, according to Us Weekly poll, Charlie Brown, Garfield, Mickey Mouse, Big Bird, Spider-Man, and I'm going to throw this one in. I'm going to say Underdog, only because you see him represented in so many pieces of media. So he might not currently be popular, but I have to think over the time he's popular.
One of my favorite things about Macy's Day, too, is just the fact that it shows up in pop culture. Personally, as someone who loves Macy's Day and loves pop culture, it's fun to see the parade show up. And we've seen it in classic movies, everything from, of course, Miracle on 34th Street to The Man from U.N.C.L.E. But even the Thanksgiving Day episode of Friends is a reference that I love, and Family Guy. So it shows how ubiquitous the Macy's Day Parade is, that you see it in animation, children's shows, sitcoms, movies. And there's just something so fun about seeing something you love. Because here's what I think is fun. Whenever you see the Rockefeller tree lighting or the Macy's Day Parade in a show or a movie, doesn't it make it feel like you could be in the movie too? Like it creates a sense of realism and connects it to the real world, which is the thing when I love when pop culture does that.
I especially love seeing it in the old movies because it's such a sense of pure history.
Absolutely,
Even when you see the Chinese theater in some old Hollywood movies, they're going to premieres, let's say back then, and to see all that stuff still exists, the settings and the set pieces, it's really cool.
It's magic. It creates a sense of magic. And I think it also really grounds your movie or your episode of TV or whatever it is to incorporate. Like whenever I see the Macy's Day Parade, I feel the exact same way, Kev, where it just creates a sense of personal connection to the things. I love that we were talking.
I have a question. So many of these brick and mortar stores are struggling. Outside of Target and Walmart, most of these stores that are clothing because of the shopping online are struggling. And it makes me wonder, I see a day where there may be a Macy's parade, but no Macy's.
I know, Kev.
I hope I'm wrong.
Macy's, they also sell like pots and pans. It's not just clothes, right? It's a department store.
They sell everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
They sell it all.
So in my mind, maybe they're the last. They've become the target of department stores.
The higher end target.
Yeah. So I think they have carved out their space, but I don't know. It is. But I think every mall, it's like you have your Macy's, your Target, and then like your Home Depot or whatever. But I feel like Macy's still has a place for now.
And I feel like that flagship store in Herald Square in New York City, that's still a tourist attraction. Like when you go to New York, you're like, I want to go to Macy's because this is the parade. This is where what like Jeff just talked about in the shows. And that's what's nostalgic. Even if you've never been to New York before, you have nostalgia for the Rockefeller tree, for the skaters, for Times Square, for Macy's. I think that flagship store, Kev, has a little bit more staying power than just the regular mall store.
Has everyone, Elaine and Kelsey, I'm assuming Jeff and Anne have gone to the store. Have you been to the store in New York? The Macy's?
Well, I was actually just going to say, that's where Maria and I did her live event. And I was blown away by how stunning it is. It is a beautiful store. They just recently redid it. And it is, it's not going anywhere. It was packed.
Packed.
It's just pretty, it's iconic. And so that was the first time I'd been to it. And I was like, holy cow.
I think, Jeff, you would enjoy hearing this, but there are many people who, from the time of now until Christmas, who travel to New York City just to do their Christmas shopping in New York City and specifically at that Macy's.
Yeah,
absolutely. And you know what else it is, too, Kev, is I think Macy's will always have a corner on the wedding business because couples go and register there. So it's Laura and I registered at Macy's because people will go shop there. So I think, and what's fun, if you go register at Macy's, someone will take you around and tour you through the silverware and the pots and pans and help you register. So I think that's always going to help keep them going too.
It's funny, the Miracle on 34th Street, and I'm surprised in 1934 they did this, but one of the inciting incidents is the fact that in the parade, the Santa in the parade is drunk, and that's how he has to get replaced by this sweet old man who takes over, and who really believes he's Santa and may very well be. And they leave it so open-ended, which is why that film's so beautiful. But I always thought it was cool that, he's the Santa at the parade, but he's a drunk.
Probably honestly accurate. It's New York, man. Full of characters.
And back then, some rummy. We didn't really spend too much time on the floats, but they usually have about 30-plus floats per parade. But they say that they have a much shorter lifespan than the balloons. Interesting enough, and I don't want to jump around too much, but there's going to be a Toys R Us float that coming out this year with Jeffrey the giraffe that's their lead character. Jeffrey's Dazzling Dance Party. The reason I mention it is because Toys R Us was another iconic brand that went out of business. And I feel like Macy's has bought in with them in some way, shape, or form. And whatever they're going to resurrect of it will be within Macy's. And I find that could be interesting.
I'm excited to see that. I was a big Toys R Us girl, so very devastated when it went out of business. Right. Yeah,
I agree, Kels. I was shocked but pleasantly surprised to see Jeffrey's Dazzling Dance Party on the playlist for this year's parade.
Can't wait.
Elaine, do you remember Toys R Us?
I remember it, but honestly, I don't think I was ever allowed to go in there. My parents just never brought me in there. I remember my aunt would always bring my cousin in there, and then I was just not allowed to go. I had plenty of toys, but Toys R Us was just not one of the places that I was so fucking
I love your parents.
Like, I would just probably want to buy everything, and my parents, being a child, they can't say no to me. It's probably best for the both of us.
I didn't go in there. Wow. Maria, same thing. I think that's an immigrant thing. Maria was like, nope. No Toys R Us for you.
You won't spend any money if you don't go what kind of toys that you can get.
But just a different world, how fast it went away, where you would have a store the size of a Target, aisles and aisles of toys.
Yeah. You know, and then, it seemed like it left in a blank, didn't it?
Yeah, it was. It did, abruptly in a blank. Yet you can see why, at least the ones I knew in L.A. were just very decrepit and dirty and just... But I get it. Between Amazon and the fact that Walmart and Target stepped their games up in the toy section. But even still, as much as that's the place I hear kids go for toys, still much smaller section compared to the entire Toys R Us that we used to have.
Yeah, they're in the Candyland. It was amazing.
It really was.
Really,
really well,
I think screens have replaced toys, right? It's video games, it's TV.
It's not, Jess.
I think toys aren't really what they used to be because we have screens now.
Yes. Wow. And furthermore, quality of toys have gone really far down because they're so cheap to buy. We had covered, Jeff, on earlier episodes how toys were very expensive. And for Ann and I's parents, you were lucky if you got some stuff during Christmas and some stuff during your birthday. And it wasn't so much not to spoil us. They didn't have the money. And toys, it wasn't, Childware was a brand back then. Toys R Us came at the a little later in our childhoods.
Early 80s, I think, is when it came. Like, yeah. The rest kid. Yeah.
And before then, I remember Child World was a Same. Big place. You got to go and pick out a toy, let's say, for your birthday. And it was just a big deal to go in there. But now it's like everything's just so accessible.
You know what you would like, Kev, is there's a brand of toys that has come out in the last 10 years called Melissa and Doug. And they're American made and they're not electronic. They're all crafted small kitchens or tables or action. It's interesting because my oldest sister is committed to buying her kids just Melissa and Doug toys. Because even like the Parker, what's the brand I'm thinking of? The kids brand.
Yeah. Parker Brothers.
Parker Brothers. It's all electronic now where it lights up and it beeps. And I think my sister's committed to just trying to give the kids just wooden toys by this Melissa and Doug company. They're high quality American made just to let them use their imagination.
I love that.
Interesting.
All right, let's wrap it up with Ann had given us a few insider tips, which I like. The parade itself starts at 9. The best time to claim a spot is at 6 a.m. on the west side of the street on Central Park West from 59th to 75th Street. Do they only let you get there at 6? I wonder if they keep you from overnight?
I don't think you can overnight over there, Kev. I didn't see anything about that, but I think they say get there at 6. It's not like Black Friday where you're waiting outside the door at a Best Buy. I think they do not allow camping.
Because I will say the Rose Bowl Parade, I knew families that would go very early. One family member would go and rope off a section for the New Year's Day parade. But that's good to know that 6 a.m., it'd be better. I would hate to think of people out there.
To get out there at 6 a.m. and wait?
I think you'd have to do it right. So hand warmers, a big jacket, and a thermos of hot chocolate is how I would do it, with probably Dixie cups that you can pass around just to be ready. Maybe some pastries.
Jeff is the greatest.
So that's how I would do it.
Okay. If you're late to the parade, your best bet is to head to the parade end at the end of 6th Avenue. Very little viewing along 6th between 34th and 38th or in front of Macy's Herald Square because that's reserved for the TV crews. Okay, so note to civilians, leave strollers and folding chairs at home. Live from New York City on NBC or stream it on Peacock. 9 a.m. till noon in all time zones. This is going to be hard for you to hear, Jeff. I came into this doing all the research, being so excited, but then having to read through all these facts, having to butcher all the words that I did. I'm now exhausted. I think I'm back. I'm back out. I don't think I'm watching the break. I think I'm out.
Jeff will give you the highlight.
I'll do a quick recap. No one can shake. You know what? You can do what you want. No one can reduce my enthusiasm for the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Parade.
Love that,
Jeff. Actually, Jeff, I'm going to watch. No, I'm totally going to watch this. Yeah, getting Maria, my wife, to watch with me. But I love the idea. Jeff, what I don't like is that, do you get in the Midwest, do you get to watch it live? Or is it?
We're on the same time zone as New York.
Okay.
It's Eastern. Okay.
Got it. But the people around the country that aren't in that time zone, they're watching.
They hold the broadcast. Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's like New Year's Eve. But I'll be East Coast. So yeah, live.
I'll be live and get that Bloody Mary, Kev. That's really what makes it for you, is a good Bloody Mary to watch with.
There's got to be ways to watch it live on the East Coast and the West Coast.
I think
as well.
Peacock. I bet Peacock will stream it live.
I think Peacock's streaming it, aren't they?
Yeah.
But sometimes they know your time zone as well. I know that from AfterBuzz. There's workarounds. Anyway, needless to say, Anne, will you be watching this year?
I'm going to stick with my commitment and have a Bloody Mary and a little Al Roker, and I'll report back after Thanksgiving and let you know how it went.
Okay. Kelsey, Elaine.
Honestly, I probably won't watch. I'll just go down for my part that I have to. But I don't do Bloody Marys, but I make a mean harvest margarita every Thanksgiving, which is like a margarita Jeff will make you one. It's phenomenal. Yeah. It's a normal marg, but you steep some simple syrup in some cinnamon and nutmeg. It's phenomenal. So I'll have one of those. Not watch. Just kidding. I'll watch part of you, Jeff.
And Elaine, fully committed to not watching.
Fully committed to not watching, but I will just have my marg or a Bloody Mary for fun and maybe scroll on social media to see if there's any big accidents. And
I can't.
Jeff, no, Jeff, I'm sorry. I'll be watching. Jeff, I'll have my strength back by then. I'm totally watching, Jeff.
The idea that someone would opt for TikTok over the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade makes me want to...
Elaine's going to blasphemy.
Yeah, but wait, Elaine, the beauty is the beauty of our new AD. You do both.
That's true.
The TikTok killing while you're watching the TV. Yeah.
Okay, I can put it on the background while I do other things. How about that?
Jeff, by the way, I'd like to throw this out to you. And I wish I had asked you this sooner. There's got to be Reddit or some other way to where this chain's going, where people are commenting on this. That's always fun too, the companion feed.
I'm usually on Twitter to see live reactions. I feel like that's a good... That's what I love though, Kevin, is there's not going to be much controversy. People are going to come in with crazy hot takes. It's just 4 hours of feel good coffee drinking material.
But Jeff, it's we're so toxic. You really did no
it feels like
find...
one of the last bastions of fun. Watch the Thanksgiving when you're watching the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. But I could be proven wrong. We'll see.
Maybe that's what it needs.
Maybe, you know what, Elaine, that could be your job this year. Watch it and let everyone know why you're a victim. And
if you agree with us or disagree, or if you're restrained by this episode as I am and wish us to never do anything like this again, I urge you to text us.
Our text number is 351-251-2511. That text number again is 351-251-2511.
And we got some nice comments, Kelsey. Maybe we could read those.
Heck yeah, I'm going to read a couple because this one I really agree with. Alyssa says, lovely Christmas people. I'm sure you'll be doing the animated specials, but you may want to do more of the episodes from TV shows like Mary Tyler Moore Show, I Love Lucy, Bob Newhart, Cheers, The Office. Yes, we will definitely be doing that. She said, fun to rewatch and see how they hold up. So thank you for that. Keep texting us, you guys. And you can text us if you love us, if you hate us, what you want us to talk about. Don't tell us if you hate us. I'm just kidding. Just tell us if you love us. But it's amazing. Yes.
So once again, if you want to text us questions or your comments, if you wish to never have us cover anything like this again, let us know. What is the number?
Our text number is 351-251-2511. That text number again is 351-251-2511.
We'll have it in the list of whatever somewhere. All right. You guys, the march to the holidays continues. We will be back covering more specials. Thank you for your patience. during this one. I promise that things will be only upward from here. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.